May the words of my mouth, meditation of all our hearts, always be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our salvation.
Amen.
Over the past several weeks, we have heard Mark's version of the beginning of Jesus' ministry. We first heard about Jesus' baptism by John in the Jordan River, and how, as he was coming up out of the water, he heard God's voice saying to him that he was the Beloved, and God is well pleased with him. Then we heard the story about the calling of the first disciples, how Simon and Andrew, James and John were working in their boats, mending their nets, and Jesus comes along and invites them into a new life of being his disciples. And today, we hear the second part of Jesus' first day on the job, so to speak. Jesus' first day of ministry gives us an idea of what the major themes of this ministry will be. These major themes are healing, restoration, and hope. And we will see them over and over again as we journey through Mark's gospel. The day started with Jesus and his disciples going into the synagogue in Capernaum because it was the Sabbath and that was his custom. And while in the synagogue, Jesus began to teach with authority, and everyone was astonished. And while Jesus was teaching, a person with an unclean spirit came to him and cries out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? You have come to destroy us. I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." And naturally, what does Jesus do? Jesus rebukes the unclean spirit and commands the spirit out of that person. And the unclean spirit, convulsing and crying out, leaves them. And the entire congregation is amazed at what they see, and they begin to tell everyone they met about what Jesus has done and is doing. This episode of the possessed man provides us with a sense that Jesus has come as a healer and a liberator, the Messiah who comes to bring liberation from everything that can ensnare us and call us from the love of God. That is not the end of Jesus' first day on the job. As soon as Jesus and his disciples leave the synagogue, they go across the street to Simon and Andrew's house, where they find Simon's mother-in-law sick with a fever. This part of the story gives us a sense of what this freedom is for. This passage pivots around four key verbs: to come near, to take hold, to wake or to rise, and to serve or to minister. The first two go hand in hand. Jesus comes near Simon's mother-in-law, close enough to take hold of her hand. And throughout the Gospel of Mark, he shows us how important the power of touch can be. And Jesus is not afraid to touch people, even the unclean of his day. I remember during the beginning of my ministry learning how important holding someone's hand is while we pray for healing. I found this especially true when I visited people who were living with HIV/AIDS. And in the early 90s, there was a fear that touching someone would cause you to get the illness. So even the mere contact of someone was terrifying. For me, it became very clear that there was a hunger for human contact in this. And while I held their hands, it felt as if I had been the only person to touch them in a loving way in a very long time. This proved to me that the power of touch in healing is extremely important and has become a part of my ministry as I pray for healing. When Jesus took Simon's mother-in-law's hand, he raises her up. And this is the same Greek word that is used on Easter Sunday morning when the angel says to the women outside the tomb, "He has been raised. He is not here." And so we get the idea that this term evokes a renewed strength, reinvigoration, reawakening, restoration, and return. And finally, what is she renewed for? For diakonos, ministry and service, the same root that gives us the word deacon. And what is more, diakonos literally means to kick up the dust. This is an active, practical, on the move, change the world sort of work. In short, this woman is lifted up to serve. She is freed for ministry, to kick up some dust and get something done. Simon's mother-in-law is a pioneer, and some say that she was the first deacon who blazes a trail for the anonymous woman who causes a little dust-up near the end of Mark's gospel when she anoints Jesus' feet with costly perfume. And also for the group of women at the crucifixion who stay and keep watch and remain with the vandalized body, even as the male disciples panic and flee. It is important for us to be reminded how illness not only debilitates the body, it can also cut a person off from his or her social life and contributions to a community. And this can feel like a loss of dignity and purpose. So if we take Simon's mother-in-law seriously as a model for ministry, we can see that her healing is also a restoration of dignity. Hospitality was highly prized in the ancient world and for the early Christians as well. To be hospitable in a way that advanced the Jesus movement was born an art and an honor. In this way, for Mark, the healing in this story is not only a matter of fever disappearing, it is also a matter of restoration to community and to participation in the Jesus movement. The social dimension of healing is a key theme to which Mark will return again and again. For Mark, this first day of Jesus on the job is a microcosm of Jesus' mission as a whole. The Holy One of God comes to confront death-dealing forces for the sake of life-giving restoration. Jesus will resurrect later in the story, but his life mission is all about resurrection in the here and the now. Jesus comes near in order to lift us up into service, to reawaken us into dignity and genuine health. Being a follower of Jesus means having the courage to confront forces of ruin. It means finding ways to tenderly bind up wounds. It means not only proclaiming resurrection, but living it out in our lives day after day, for ourselves and for others. And it means doing all of this with our deeds as well as with our words. Jesus comes as a healer and liberator and calls us to join him and promises to accompany us along the way, caring for us as we comfort, come near, take hold, lift up, and serve others. It's a great challenge. It is true, the greatest of our lives. But God's love, companionship, and support are more than enough to accomplish all the tasks at hand. Amen.